Morning. The topic of this morning's shiur seems almost silly. It's almost pashut. Doesn't everyone use grape juice for Kiddush Friday night? Kedem, otherwise, would be out of business. Yet, way back towards the turn of the century, when prohibition came into effect, everyone used to use wine, and people began finding ways, perhaps, to be matzir, to permit using grape juice, because even though wine was permitted for sacrament, including Kiddush, it was hard to find. The first person, believe it or not, to permit using grape juice for Kiddush Friday night was not a religious person. It was Professor Louis Ginsberg from the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. And that started a major discussion. Some people thought right. Some people thought wrong. Some people thought, even if he's right, it's pretty bad that he's the first person to start it. And indeed, the reason we use grape juice for Kiddush Friday night is that the Posek HaDor of Moshe Feinstein, eventually, years later, came out and was matir. So indeed, Rav Moshe is the person we really rely on. But there are poskim, even nowadays, that think that it's not preferable. In fact, some think that it's totally not possible to use grape juice for Kiddush on Friday night. We're going to see three specific reasons to invalidate using grape juice for Kiddush. And all three reasons are not only going to maintain that grape juice is not valid for Kiddush, but that grape juice is so different from wine, because it's not alcoholic, that the bracha of grape juice is shehakol. Unbelievable. The first source in front of us, the Gemara in Baba Basra, would seem to resolve our issue right away. Source number one. Amar Rav Zushri Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Ein Omrim Kiddush Hayom Ela Al Yayin HaRo'oyu V'Nasech Al Gabihim Mizbeach. Rav tells us a seemingly cryptic statement. One can only make Kiddush on wine which is also valid for use on the Mizbeach, for the Nesachim, for the wine libations in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav, as it were, was a Amora, who was a bit tzaddik, who was very terse. He didn't speak very often. And throughout Shas, we encounter certain statements which Rav said, which are just maybe a line and a half, and the later Amorim are left to resolve, what was Rav really talking about? What did he mean? This is one such case. Says the Gemara, what's Rav telling us? Rav says we can only use wine for Kiddush if it's also valid in the Beis HaMikdash. What's Rav coming to exclude? So the Gemara's first stab at this is, L'mutei mai. What does this mean to exclude? On the second line, on source 1, Ilema L'mutei yayin midito. Perhaps you'll say that what Rav means to tell us is that one cannot use freshly squeezed grapes. Says the Gemara, that's impossible. Rav can't be coming to tell us that one cannot use freshly squeezed grapes in the Mizbeach, and therefore cannot use it for Kiddush. Why? Hatani Rebchia said in the Braisa, much earlier than Rav, Yayin Midito, wine from its press, got as a press, wine from its press, lo yavi. One cannot bring lechatfila on the Mizbeach, but vim hevi, if one brought it for the Mizbeach, kosher. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, if one were to use freshly squeezed grapes, that's valid for the Mizbeach, says the Gemara. Since if you would bring it v'di'evet on the Mizbeach itself, it's valid. Anan, on the third line, afilu l'chatchila nami. As far as Kiddush, which presumably the din of using wine for Kiddush is only din d'rabbanan, whatever was good for the Mizbeach, even v'di'evet, Chazal said that's valid for Kiddush, even l'chatchila. Anan, afilu l'chatchila nami. We can even use it. So it can't be that when Rav said one cannot use wine for Kiddush unless it's valid for the Mizbeach, that he meant to exclude grape juice, because grape juice indeed is valid for the Mizbeach with Yevid, and therefore for Kiddush it's valid entirely. In fact, the Gemara brings a proof text in bold. To Amar Rava, Sochet Adam, Eshtol Shalanavim, Vomar Rav, Tidish Hayom. A person can squeeze a cluster of grapes right before Shabbos and say Kiddush on those grapes, on that grape juice. So we see that Rava was telling us likewise, one can clearly use grape juice for Kiddush. So it would seem, again, the whole point of today's discussion is moot. It's a Mefurish Gemara. One can use freshly squeezed grapes for Kiddush. The problem is,
I'm missing something. What exactly is being done with the wine?
Part of the avoda, most karbanos had, that not only were the karbanos brought, there was also wine that was poured. It wasn't exactly poured on the part of the mizbeach which had the fire, it was poured somewhat lower, but part of most karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash was that they would pour some wine on the mizbeach. Usually, in fact, in Musaf, the part people say quickly, we usually say in the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh or of Yom Tov, we say, usually, the karbanos, the animals that were brought, and then we say, so we say their mincha, the mincha which was a carbon made of flour, and their libations, the liquids that were poured. So most carbonos had wine accompanying them that was poured on Mizbech. Sukkos was unique. Sukkos actually had water, and that's the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Instead of, in addition to wine, we had water, which was a separate, special thing that we had only on Sukkos. But liquids were usually poured on Mizbech together with karbanos. So that's the wine we're talking about, that if it's valid for that, even for the Eved, is valid for Kiddush, even with Chatchila. So again, the Gemara is telling us quite clearly, you can use freshly squeezed grapes for Kiddush. The difference is that freshly squeezed grapes make grape juice, and if you leave that in the right conditions, what happens to it? It becomes wine. As opposed to Kedem grape juice, that was squeezed months and months ago. The only thing that can happen to that is that eventually it'll become vinegar, but it never, ever, ever can become wine. Some Achronim actually wrote when they were investigating grape juice that our grape juice also eventually becomes wine. It's just not true. But Metzius, our grape juice, you can leave it out, it'll never, ever, ever becomes wine. Which leads some Achronim to say, very nice, the Gemara tells us you can squeeze wine, you can squeeze grapes and make grape juice and use that for Kiddush, but that at least has the potential to become wine. As opposed to our kedem grape juice or defen, whatever you use, can never, ever, ever become wine. Just to finish up this Gemara, two other points. The Gemara keeps on going. We're going to skip a little bit. The Gemara keeps on going to try to think, what is it that we're trying to exclude? Again, what was this mysterious statement of Rav? That one cannot use wine unless it's valid for the Mizbeach, for the Nesachim? The Gemara, let's skip to six lines down, the last three words on the line. Another stay of the Gemara says is maybe it's coming to tell us one cannot use wine which is koses. Koses is a mysterious word. What it means is wine which is already turning to vinegar. So, in more technical terms, the bouquet of the wine is vinegar, but the taste is wine. So it's half and half. It tastes like wine. It just doesn't smell like wine anymore. The Gemara says, it can't be that Rav is coming to exclude that, because Pukhta, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We'll see that in a minute, what the machlokas is. And since that's a machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's clear that Rav didn't mean to tell us that that's not valid. Since according to some of Amaroyim, it actually is valid, that was not Rav's intent. And just to cut to the chase, what did Rav mean? Three lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, Rav meant to exclude wine which is inferior. Not because it doesn't taste like wine. It actually still tastes like wine. But since this wine was left in some sort of vessel, like earthenware, for example, which it just becomes disgusting, even though indeed the bracha is hadrafen, and it really tastes and smells like wine, it's not appropriate to use that for the mizbeach, and consequently for Kiddush. That was Rav's intent. But two steps along the way, we discovered, number one, that he said one can use freshly squeezed grape juice. And number two, he didn't mean to say one can't use yayin koses, this wine which lost its bouquet. Let's explore the idea of yayin koses a little further, and that's going to lead us to reason number one, that one cannot use, potentially, our grape juice for Kiddush. The Gemara in source 2, we're not going to see it all inside, quotes a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi as far as Yayin Koseis is concerned. The Gemara says, just to see, on the third line, the end of the line, in this source 2, Reche Chala, it smells, Reach, it smells like vinegar. V'tamei Chamra, but it tastes like wine. Says the Gemara, V'chol Reche Chala, V'tamei Chamra, Chamra, whatever smells like vinegar, but still tastes like wine, is indeed hadafen, is indeed valid for Kiddush. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, in the last line, disagrees. He says no. Since it already is on its way out, it once was a great Cabernet, but since now it can only be sold as 5% wine vinegar, nothing else, so it's not valid for Kiddush anymore, it's not even hadafen. That's the Yayin Koseis that Gemara was talking about. So the Rashbam explains that the reason Rav could not have been excluding this Yayin Koseis is that this Yayin Koseis is so bad, it's not even hadafen. If Rav meant to tell us one shouldn't use Yayin Koseis for Kiddush, he wouldn't have just said one can't use this wine on the Mizbeach and therefore not for Kiddush. He would have said it's Shakol. So clearly that was not Rav's intent. That's what the Gemara explains as to why Rav couldn't mean to be saying one shouldn't use Yayin Koseis. But it's clear from the Gemara that Yayin Koseis indeed, if you would ask a Shaila in the Beis Medrash or the Amarayim, what bracha do you make on wine which is turned into vinegar? You'd receive two answers. Some would say hadrafen, and some would say shatol. Says the Rashbam in source 3, what's the reason to invalidate wine turning to vinegar from the bracha of hadrafen? Why is it shatol? Says the Rashbam, Yayin Koseis, Hu Yayin Hanimter Bechanus. It's wine that one can still buy in some cheap stores. Upasulhu. It's not valid. Dilahavi Shechar. It no longer can intoxicate the way it should. Dilah Royal Shechar. It can never, ever intoxicate ever again. Ki Yayin Midito, as opposed to freshly squeezed grapes, the Sofa Mia. Uyos Shecher, that indeed, in the end, can become Shecher.
Dr. Flashner?
Yes. Says the Rashbam, what's the reason that wine turning to vinegar is not valid for Kiddush and not Hadrafen? Because it can no longer intoxicate and never will be able to intoxicate. Says the Rashbam, in sharp distinction from our grape juice, which he says, which at least is a future star. Even though it can't intoxicate now, it will be able to. So the Rashbam again is saying, the reason Yayin Koseis is not valid is why? Because it's already on its way out. As opposed to grape juice, says the Rashbam, what's the reason grape juice is hadafen and valid for Kiddush and valid for the Zbeach? Because it can become intoxicating. Say some achronim. You see from this Rashbam, if you invent a grape juice which can never, ever intoxicate, then it's no longer valid for the Mizbeach. No longer valid for Kiddush. And not even hadafen. Strike one. It seems like it's an open and shut case. According to the Rashbam, the only way grape juice should ever be hadafen is if it has the potential. But if there's no potential to become intoxicating, it's not going to be hadafen. Reason number two to invalidate using grape juice for Kiddush is based upon one very short line in the Beis Yosef. Says the Beis Yosef, source 4, Pasuv Ba'archos Chaim, he quotes one of the Rishonim, one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, Rav Aaron Milunil from France. Al Iropi, on some word, Iropi, we don't know what that means, it's not a Talmudic term, it's some sort of foreign language. Al Iropi, an Iropi, Bivarech Shehakol, Upashut. Everyone knows, says the Beis Yosef, you make Shehakol an Iropi. Doesn't do much good, what is Iropi? But says the Knesset HaGdolah, one of the Italian achronim, an early achron, in source 5, in his Tshuvas Ba'i Chai, says the Knesset HaGadolah. Now, he's going to tell us what Iropi is. Now, you didn't really have to be a Rav. You didn't even have to be Jewish to tell us what Iropi was. If we found the kosher palate of the 17th century, that would have been good enough. Any cookbook or anything that tells us what the word Iropi means would really be okay. But the Knesset HaGadolah actually tells us that he knows what it is. He quotes in the first line the Beis Yosef that says that an Iropi you make shehakol, says the Beis Yosef, says the Knesset HaGdolah, the Inyan HaIropi, on the second line in source 5, Iropi is, hu shedorchim ha'anavim, one squeezes grapes, v'achar d'richasam, and after them being squeezed, mesimim b'tirosh, you put in that freshly squeezed juice, ofar levan yadua, some well-known white powder. I think it's sulfur, but I'm not sure. Some sort of white powder, sha'achas ha'yoser, for an hour or two, ma'at, p'dei she'yatzil ha'yayin, so that the wine becomes clear, ha'yotze mehem mehera, that comes out quickly, v'yamod b'misukruso, it stays sweet. V'achakach, and afterwards, mechavim and osob p'dei she'yatzil ha'yisbo, one heats it up briefly in a very low temperature, also offer that white sand. On the last line in source 5, Gorim causes Shatirosh lo ye'ose yayin, will never become wine, Eliyamor b'mesitrusa, will stay sweet. V'chein daiti maskemes v'varech alav shakol. I agree, one says shakol. What is the Yeropi the Beis Yosef is talking about? It sounds like our grape juice. You take juice from grapes, as soon as it comes out, you add some sort of chemical, that makes it stop fermenting. You stunt its fermentation process. It can never, ever ferment. And with that alone, we say, it's chapo. It's ice, yayin, as they say. It's no longer wine. And therefore, it's chapo. Major strike two. The third reason that the Yechonim would quote as invalidate grape juice for Tiddush, and again from Hadrothin, is based upon the Mishnah and the Gemara in the beginning of the Perek Ketzed Mavarchin. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, source 6, that obviously what bracha do we make on fruits? Ha'etz. With one exception. Wine, which is hadrafen. Now it's unique. They point out that wine is hadrafen. Most juices are shahakol. Wine is even better. Not only is it not ha'etz, even though it comes from a fruit, it actually goes one up. It becomes hadrafen. That's a famous idea they point out. One of the many pshatim in why we give a bracha, the Gemara says to Chasam Rukhala, in ve'adefen, davrenoi umistabel, it's fruits of the vine together, is something which is wonderful. So some point out that the juice of grapes, the fruit of the vine, which then becomes juice, is something which actually is better than the vine. Meaning most, if you have orange juice, rapatana orange juice becomes shakol. But in ve'adefen, when they produce something, it actually becomes better. So we hope the Chasam Rukhala will be actually better than their parents. Whether that's proud or not, I don't know. But it definitely drives some of the points that wine is unique in that not only is it something which could retain her eights, it even goes one step higher and actually is hadrafen. That's the Mishnah. Sorry? Special bracha. So the question the Gemara raises is why? Why is wine unique in that it's hadrafen? Says the Gemara, just in 6a, we'll see briefly the first three words. Chutzman ayayin, Maishna ayayin, says the Gemara. Why was it that Chazal, in their wisdom, decided to declare a special bracha on wine? We'll skip to the end of 6a, the last line, on page 2 now. The last line on the first part of page 2.
Is the question a specific bracha on wine or a specific bracha on something that comes out of grapes?
No, on wine, specifically.
So we're not dealing with a bracha on grape juice
now? Oh, well, the Gemara uses the term wine in its broad sense. The juice of grapes. Okay, that's a better way to. Which we're calling wine. The question is, right? So the Gemara says, "Ella, the last line, chamra is beitarti. Wine has two specific attributes which caused Chazal to add a bracha of hadrafen on it. Is beitarti. Wine has two. Sa'if, it adds in some way to one's satiation. It actually makes a person feel more satiated. Umisameach. It also makes a person more cheerful." Says the Gemara, that's why Chazal saw wine as being so special, they wanted to give it a special bracha of hadrafen. Two things. Makes one feel more full, and also makes one feel happier. One of the people who was vehemently opposed to Professor Louis Ginsberg was a tremendous Talmud Chacham who was a Rav in Hartford, Rav Yitzchak Simcha Horowitz, who was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, a tremendous Talmud Chacham who wrote a beautiful Sefer on Sefer Mitzvos. So most things on Sefer Mitzvos don't deal with halacha. Sefer Mitzvos was the fact that the Rambam took all the halacha, all the mitzvos, and made a list of 613. So most, his parish usually deals with abstract Talmudic concepts as to why the Rambam counted this, why the Rambam didn't count that. But he goes on a major tangent on the mitzvah of Kiddush. He goes on a major tangent in which he attacks Professor Ginsburg and says one cannot use grape juice for Kiddush. So in his Sefer Mitzvos, source 7, he says, based upon the Gemara in Brachos, that again, the whole reason Chazal said we make a bracha of hadafen on wine is because, number one, sa'id, you feel satiated. Number two, mesameach, it makes one feel happy, says the Yad HaLevi, me'emov muvan. It goes without saying, if one removes the power of it waking you up, alcoholi, one takes away the alcoholic content of the juice of the grapes, grape juice shavanu, like our grape juice, it loses its entire alcoholic content. Lemon, viha, orange. It's no different than lemon juice or orange juice. Says the Yad HaLevi, come on! We realize, Chazal explained to us, it's not a secret, Chazal explained why they made a special bracha of hadafen on wine. Because it has an alcoholic content. Therefore, if one would create wine that doesn't have the alcoholic content, it's quite clear that it's not hadafen. Strike 3. Says the Yad HaLevi, he passed in one to not use grape juice for Kiddush. In fact, one would make shahakol on it. Because it has no maila, which can be identified with why Chazal said one should make hadafen on wine.
Is there a difference between Kiddush at night and Kiddush during the day?
There might be. We'll see. We'll talk about that at the end. There might be a difference between Kiddush during the day and at night. But for now, it would seem that even if one would make Kiddush on grape juice during the day, what bracha should it be? Shagol. So it might have the status of schnapps rather than the status of actual wine, which is a whole separate discussion if one can actually make Kiddush on schnapps or not.
What was the difference between reasons 1 and 2? It seems to be both that they can't become one.
No, well, they're really just three different sources. The common denominator between all three reasons really is that our grape juice is unique and that it can become wine. But we're buttressing this from three different sources. Number one, the Rashbam. Number two, the Beis Yosef. And number three, the Gemara. One by one, I do not get any prize from Kedem for doing this, but one by one, I'm going to attempt to show how all three of these reasons can be disagreed with quite strongly. Source number 8, the first Sa'ad Lahatir, is, let's remind ourselves, the Rashbam told us that one cannot use wine which can never become alcoholic, because that's not the wine that Chazal said is going to be hadafen. And the Rashbam again, what was the Rashbam talking about? The Rashbam told us, Yayin Koseis, wine which is already losing its bouquet, is not hadafen. And the Rashbam said there's a distinction between that and our grape juice, since our grape juice can at least become grape juice. The Rashbam himself was only going according to one amora. Remember, we saw that Yayin Koseis, as far as whether it's hadrafen or shahakal, was machokas amarayim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, even Yayin Koseis was indeed hadrafen. Meaning, even though it lost its bouquet, it was hadrafen. The Rashbam merely was explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who held that once the wine is losing its bouquet, it's on its way out, it's not hadrafen. So according to him, the Rashbam had to explain why grape juice is different. But according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if there's no bouquet, grape juice and Yayin Koseis is hadrafen. Says the Rashbam in source 8, and Balavashva Talibav Amalav, nearly Hilchasar Ki Rabbi Yochanan. The Rashbam himself paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, meaning the Rashbam, when he said that you need to have the potential to become fermented and become alcoholic, was only going according to the opinion of Yeshua ben Levi. But he paskins Halacha Mefureshes himself, that Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, who held that wine does not need to have potential, because he paskins that Yayin Koseis is Hagopen. Again, the Rashbam was only explaining the opinion of Yeshua ben Levi, who said that if wine does not have potential, then it's going to be shapol. But the Rashbam doesn't paskin that way. Rashbam paskins, we don't need potential. Since you don't need potential, as long as it tastes, as long as it's the fruit of the vine, and it's not sour like vinegar, it's going to be hadafen. So, One can answer the Rashbam with only Rashbam. The Rashbam is only explaining an opinion that we don't pastin like. But since we pastin, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Yayin Toseis, that lost its bouquet, is valid, you see that you don't need to be able to become wine. As long as it's something which comes out of grapes, that alone is enough to make Hadrafen. Right.
What is Rav trying to teach us?
Why couldn't one have said Rav is taking taking sides? So the Rashbam explains, you're right. Rav could have been holding that it's going to be that he holds like Rabbi Shimon Levi. He could have been siding with that opinion. The problem is that if Rav really held like Rabbi Shimon Levi that Yayin Kosis is not valid, Rav would have said this in a roundabout way that it's not valid for the Mizbeach. He would have said, Yayin Kosis is Shakol. But the fact that it's not Roy from the Mizbeach sounds like, indeed, it's Hadrafen. It's just not worthy for the Mizbeach, not worthy for Kiddush. But during the week, one can make Hadrafen on it. So Rav would have said it that way. But you're right. As far as the Halacha, Rav in theory could pass him like Rabbi Shimon Levi. That we have no Hechreif to, which is that's not what he was intending in this statement. But again, the Rashbam Paskins, like Rabbi Yochanan, therefore reason number one seems to be rejected out of hand. What about reason number two to invalidate grape juice? The Beis Yosef. What about Iropi? Says the Minchas Yitzchok in source 10.
Iropi is basically what we use.
That's what it sounds like, right? That's what it sounds like. At least from what we saw in the Knesset HaVadola himself explaining the recipe for Iropi, it sounds like that's the exact same way we make grape juice nowadays. But comes along the Minchas Yitzchok. Minchas Yitzchok was Dayan Weiss, the head of the Badatz in Eretz Yisrael, who was very involved, aside from being a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he was also involved in a lot of Hashtacha. So he had the question, as far as the Hashtacha on grape juice, he was actually talking about reconstituted grape juice in this tshuva, and as far as the Machlokas, what bracha that is, Hadrafen or Shehar Kol. But in the middle of the tshuva, if they, let's say, what Tropicana doesn't want to be. That means if you take grape juice, you concentrate it to make it easy to transport, and then you add water later.
Most of our canon says...
not from concentrate. They add grape juice concentrate a little bit to make it sweeter, meaning they have to say on the front, no sugar added. So you have to find a way to have no sugar added, yet to still make it totally grape juice. So they add some kind, it's a little bit, but it's mostly grape juice, I think. That's why it really doesn't have the halacha of concentrate. But a few years ago, Welch's came out with a special kosher brand of OU grape juice, and there was a major discussion even within the OU if that's valid for Kiddush, because that was reconstituted, that might be Shakol. So that's what the Minchas Yitzchok is talking about. There are some posts from which say one way, some which say the other way, but the Minchas Yitzchok quotes from the second paragraph the halacha as far as our general grape juice is concerned. Says the Minchas Yitzchok, in the second paragraph, four lines down, you think that the Knesset HaGadolah himself said that Eropi is Shehakol. Well, if you look in another tshuva, in the Knesset HaGadolah himself, unbelievable, not in some other Akron, in the Knesset HaGadolah, he says, the second paragraph, four lines down, in the middle of the line, he tried Zanu Bezeh, the Tshuvas Haran, the Knesset HaGadolah B'Sifra, the Tshuvas Ba'ichai. The Knesset HaGadolah in another Teshuva says as follows. Third paragraph, let's skip to where it says the Aleph there in the third paragraph, the Aleph in parentheses. The Vamitzius Asiyas HaEropi Hanal. How does one make Eropi? Yesh Be'ez Shavim. There are actually two levels in the process. Echad Sheba'od Hu Yayin Yasimu Bo'ofer Ve'efer Hanal. Number one is you add this sulfur, whatever it is, to make it stop fermentation. Base, she'acharkach mevashlen oso ad she'naseh k'mod vash. Number two is you let it simmer till it becomes some sort of syrup. Says the Minchas Yitzchok, that's what the Beis Yosef is talking about. When the Knesset HaGadolah told us Eropi means that you stunt the fermentation, he left out the second part, which he filled in another tshuva. Number one, you stop it from fermenting. Number two, you boil it out till it becomes syrup. This is some sort of either jello or jelly or some sort of non-liquid. If it's no longer a liquid, then we understand why it's shakol. In fact, we understand why the Beis Yosef says that iropi is shakol upashatu. It's pashut. What's so pashut? If it's wine which is stunted, that's at least the chiddush. No. The Beis Yosef knew what iropi was. It was some sort of preserves. It was some sort of syrup. On syrup, we understand. You don't drink it. That's why it's shakol. It's nothing remotely like wine. But we have no proof from there anymore that if all you do is the first step, all you do is you stop fermentation, that enough is enough to say that it's no longer hadassah. Unbelievable. So the Knesset Abdullah, it would seem, would be endowed in grape juice. But in that shuvah, he was given the chitzer. He was only saying part of the recipe. And since the step two really is that you boil it out, that's shakol, we have no proof that if you just do the first step, it's removed from the brach of hadassah. And I would just suggest, I don't know that etymology at all, but I wonder if there's a connection between our word in English, syrup, and iropi. I don't know. But even if there's no connection linguistically, there's definitely a connection in ideas. They're really the exact same thing. One is grape syrup, and one is going to be chatol.
How are we connecting the sulfites in it, though, which is a preservative? And
So I think that's the point. One might have said it's related based upon the first definition, but since we're adding the fact that you change the whole nature, you make it into a solid, so then the fact you add sulfites really has no bearing on the issue.
Normally you don't use syrups or preserves as like its own food.
Right.
So you wouldn't really say a bracha on it, just it's top up to whatever else you're eating.
That's true, right. So I don't know what they did with this exactly. I'm not sure. Maybe it was some sort of like jello. You know, before they had kosher gelatin, maybe it was like jello. I'm not sure. Could be, right, could be. But then it would be a beverage. That would be a whole different. I think, I don't know. I don't know the Matthias, but it's quite clear that it wasn't considered, not considered a beverage altogether. In fact, the Knesset Abdullah himself rules that if just after the first step, a Nachri would touch it, then it's a problem of Stam Yenam. Meaning, the Knesset Abdullah himself ruled that indeed after step number one, of course it's wine. It's only after step number two that it becomes no longer wine, and that would in turn totally validate, or at least have no proof to invalidating our Kedem Reb Shus.
In the first two, he says also offer Gorim Shapiros when he has the yai, Lachin Daiti Maskenas Parakol Shapiros. Stage one that causes it.
Right. So number one, he adds stage two in the second shuvah, and he pastins, that's what the Minchas Yitzchak points out, but he pastins Mefurish that after stage one, he obviously is just speaking Betitzer in the first shuvah, because he pastins Mefurish that after stage one, there's a problem of Maga'akum. Meaning there's a, and we know that after stage two, he pastins that in the shuvah in Yerideh. That's what Yerideh is talking about, Stam Yenam. So you're right, meaning even if the Lashon might indicate otherwise, his halacha is that he pastins step one is Stam Yenam, step two not. So there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, he considers it wine after stage one alone. What about problem number three? The problem number three, we have two answers. The first answer is again, problem number three was Chazal. We know that Chazal said there's a bracha of hadrafen on grape juice because it can intoxicate. But if this doesn't intoxicate and can never intoxicate, perhaps it should be shakol. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in source number 11. We'll move to the third page here. The second line from the top. On the third page, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he's not attacking the Tshuvas, the Yad HaLevi himself, he's just mentioning the Svara, that perhaps because it's not intoxicating, it shouldn't be Hadafen, says the Rav Shlomo Zalman, on the second line, Afal Grav, the Mistaber, the Hashtam Yolo Said, Umisameach, even though you're right, logically, right now, it doesn't satiate and doesn't make one happy. Mikomakom who margish al toponim tam shel yayin decide umisameach. It still has the same flavor. So since it still has the same flavor as wine, the fact that it's missing a detail, an important detail, but a detail that it can't intoxicate, that's not enough of a reason to say that it's not hadafen. Meaning you can't prove from the Mishnah and the Gemara that it shouldn't be hadafen since it still tastes generally like wine. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says. One of his Talmidim is a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas Mir in Yerushalayim named Rav Nissen Kaplan, a very wonderful Mechaber Svarim who wrote Svarim called Shami Nisan on different Masechtos, beautiful Svarim, in which he writes, he has another reason to support what his Rebbe is saying. Not only can we say that it still tastes like wine and that's enough, in source 12, will I dvarav, if not for Shama Zalman, Hayanire, you don't even need that. Without his words, I could have said better, maybe. The Chazal Amru, the Yayin, Chazal said that wine, mitevan shu soiru misameach, since wine in general makes one happy and satiates, kaveh bracha atzmo. It has its own bracha. Says Nissan Taplin, kol davar shu miminze, therefore whatever is in that family, af sheh dayin lo soiru misameach, even though it itself doesn't have all the properties, since it's in the general family, strip the parentheses, it still can have its own bracha since it's from the general genre. Who cares, says when this doesn't happen? One should definitely make a taste to say that you can't prove from the Mishnah and the Gemara that it's not enough to say Hagafen if you can't intoxicate. Since this, Lamaisa, is in the wine family, so one can definitely make a strong case to say that it's enough to say Hagafen, even though indeed this specific specimen cannot be Misameach, but it's enough to be part of the general category of wine. And since that might be enough, one can't prove conclusively from the Mishnah or the Gemara anything, because it might be that Chazal, the Tachan of Chazal was on bread beverages, since they usually intoxicate one makes Hagafen. And therefore, even if you have, by some hook or crook, some way to make a grape juice beverage that doesn't intoxicate, that's not a problem, one can still make Hagafen. So we see, again, three reasons to say that grape juice might potentially be a problem, and three reasons to strongly argue and say that it really is okay to use grape juice for Kiddush. Reason number one, again, was the fact that the Rashbam himself said you need to have potential, but we saw that the Rashbam himself postins like a different opinion. The Rashbam himself postins like Rabbi Yochanan and said the one does not need potential. Reason number two is the Beis Yosef that said Eropi is Shakol, but we understood what Eropi means. If you look in the full Knesset Avdolah, Eropi means the syrup. But if it's not a syrup, it could still be Hadafen. Number three, the Gemara. So we have two reasons to say the Gemara seems to say you need to intoxicate, but the answer could be, number one, maybe this actually tastes enough like wine. Number two, even if it doesn't, since it's part of the general category, that's enough. I'll just close with one other issue raised by the Poskim as far as if it's l'chatchila or not. Is grape juice so valid that maybe it really is just as good as a Cabernet? At least for Kiddush. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source 13, Yayin Midito, freshly squeezed wine, mitachin alav, one can make Kiddush on it. Vesochet adam eshtosho anavim v'amar alav Kiddush hayom, one can squeeze grape juice and make Kiddush on it for Friday night or for Shabbos day. Says the Magen Avraham in source 14, we come up a mitzvah b'yayin yashan. The mitzvah is still to use yayin yashan. So it's more ideal to use aged wine. The Achronim point out, where does this Magen Avraham come from? From the Maharil, source 15. The Maharil tells us that he, on Rosh Hashanah, used to make kiddush on grape juice, and then used to make kiddush on wine, and then used to use grape juice for Shechianu, on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. But he used to make kiddush on wine. Says the Maharil, you know why? 15, the Shani Hacha, the Yayin HaChadosh, Itra Mishim HaTinokos, the Libam Nidra Acharav. Kids like grape juice. Ava Besuda, Yayin Yashan, Daitim Nocha Mimenu. Everyone likes real wine much better than grape juice. So to make kiddush, it's nicer to use the real thing. Shechianu will use freshly squeezed grapes from this season. But the Maharil, the source of the Magen Avraham that says it's better to use aged wine, is only because the person prefers, he presumes, aged wine. So if you prefer aged wine, it's better to use aged wine. He thinks grape juice is only for kids, but it would one can conclude from that if one actually likes grape juice better, for example, it gives one a headache to use wine, or one is actually in the mood for grape juice, then it's enough to use grape juice. The Magen Avraham, according to the Maharil, only meant because you like wine better, but if that's not your case, one can clearly see that there's very much l'chatchila to argue for using grape juice, l'chatchila both Friday night and Shabbos day.